Good evening. It's good to be here. It's a blessing to have had a church family at Northgate that's been with me in prayers. Some following along with my blog. A couple of friends this evening also that read the invitation on my blog and wanted to be here to spend this time with you all. Francisco here in the front, and you all know Dave McDonald, but it's good to have you guys here as well. So we're gonna get into hearing a little bit about what God has blessed me with the opportunity to participate in over the past eight months or so in Peru. But before we get into that, I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians has been on my reading list as I go through the Bible a chapter a day in my time of personal devotions, and it me tocó. How would you say that? It fell on Galatians 6 fell on the day when I was traveling. So I was in the airport flying out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, reading Galatians 6, and it became a very emotional moment for me as I recognized a lot of the ministry that we've been able to participate in there portrayed in Galatians chapter 6. I want to read verses 1 through 10. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share in all things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. I saw in almost every single verse here a different lesson for our ministry. The first one talks about restoring people who are overtaken in a fault or in a trespass. And there have been so many times where we've had the opportunity to lovingly confront issues that we've seen in the students and be a part of that for their lives. And it says, bear one another's burdens. We've done that as well, helping them through the program, helping them through questions about life and in a variety of ways. If anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. And I took that personally. There have been so many ways where I felt like I had everything well put together, well prepared for ministry in Peru, well prepared to work with young people, and then there were so many lessons that I had not yet learned that the Lord led me through. What else do I want to mention? Talks about teaching the word and sharing in the good things between those who hear and those who teach. I saw a lot of that. Talks about sowing and reaping based on what you sow, and I've seen that in the lives of the young people that we're investing our time with and our resources. And it talks about not growing weary while doing good. And occasionally there were moments where it could have been wearisome, but we knew that we were where the Lord had put us, and we weren't willing to give up on the students that God had entrusted to us. And so with that, I want to get into it. I'm going to mention some ways that we saw growth in those students. I'm going to go through a few of those things. But before we get to that, I want to simply talk about what is Ibim Silva. Where was I? What was going on? And who was I with? And such things as that. Here's a map of Peru. Ecuador, Colombia, Brazil, Bolivia. It'll be on the western side of South America. You all probably knew that already. As we zoom into the northern region, I'll start pointing out some cities that you might have heard about. Lima down here is the capital, by far the biggest city in Peru, probably one of the biggest in the world, I'm sure. We are here in Tarapoto, and you will also hear reference to Yurimaguas. We made a trip out to Yurimaguas. We made three ministry trips with the students in total, and also one trip with the church. All of them were along this Rio Huallaga, the Huallaga River, right? Probably between this point close to Tarapoto and maybe right around Yurimaguas. I think did we go upstream or downstream? I can't remember. But basically, this area is where we've been taking trips into the jungle. That is where Micah Tuttle has been working. That is also where Bert Elliott has planted many assemblies. And I know that some of you are familiar with those things. I'm also going to mention trips that I was able to make out to Cajamarca in the mountains where Willie and Nikki Cacho are serving. Trujillo in the coast, and also Chiclayo I was able to visit. Trujillo is the city where Dali, our other helper, grew up in Chiclayo and later moved to Trujillo for seminary. And so she is commended from Trujillo. That's also where Pablo Sinepo Torres is located, and I'll mention his name later. So I wanted to give you a little bit of a visualization before we jump into, more information about that. Tarapoto has about 120,000 people, I think. This is a photo I took from above the city at night, long exposure. It doesn't give you a really great perspective, but that's Tarapoto for you. Ibim Silva was started with the vision of Micah Tuttle, and Jesse and Janelle Maddox joined him in that program, as well as Willie and Nikki Cacho and Dali last year as they started it. Micah Tuttle and his family have moved and are in ministry in the U.S., as I believe the majority of you have heard about. Willie and Nikki Cacho have also moved back to Cajamarca, where they continue serving with the church and various ministries there. The need that was seen is that, of course, in any part of the world, but in Peru, there's a very growingly secular university and work environments. And it's always had a very strong influence of Catholicism, but secularism is also now growing with, of course, influence from the West that is making its impact in Peru. And so churches and families are sending their young people into that environment, and there's a need for training and grounding in their faith. There's also a lack of discipleship ministry, maybe in the church as a whole, but to be noted in Peru and in the jungle communities, there aren't a lot of ministries focused on discipling Christians who have placed their faith in Christ and bringing them to a new level. Other than of course the weekly teaching at church, which of course is effective, but there are other ways that discipleship can be even more effectively applied. There's also a lack of trained leadership in the churches once you get out to the jungle towns. I mentioned Bert Elliott. His ministry involved planting some 40 or so assemblies, and many of them do not have well-trained leaders. So that's kind of the need. And so the vision was to equip young people and others as well, if there are other adults who have the time to study, for missions, for ministry, and for life in general in a closer relationship with the Lord. And some of the specific ways would be meeting those needs that I mentioned, involving sending workers out into those jungle towns, and perhaps being a hub from which missionaries can live in Tarapoto, and the missionary families can be involved in ministries such as that as well. So that's the need, that's the vision. The program is 7 months of intensive classes in discipleship, and under a variety of professors that would include people, I skipped a photo. That's just a photo of the Tuttle's property, which is what we used for the ministry. I stayed in this little building, which has two rooms below and one room above, and this is what my room looked like after I decorated it and before I made it messy, it stayed for the rest of the year, more or less. Our professors include some people that you would recognize, such as Mark Maddox here, Jesse Maddox, of course. Isaac, his son, is there. He sat in on Jesse's class. Christopher Maddox. So we have three generations of Maddoxes there teaching. Jürgen Schultz has come through Missionary Focus once or twice. He's a missionary from Canada who's now a citizen of Bolivia. And Pablo Sendepo Torres, who comes from the coast. He was an adopted son, more or less, of Bert and Colleen Elliott. And Willie Cacho, who has also been here for Missionary Focus a few times. Delwyn Fowler, I doubt you all would have met, but he's a good friend of the Maddoxes, and the Levitt girls have spoken of their family when they came from visits to the Maddox family, so I thought I would mention him as well. And there are a variety of church leaders that are from Peru itself that are sharing with the work and teaching there. We have courses on books of the Bible, on theology, on ministry, on Christian living, and they generally are 1 or 2 weeks long, although we have a couple of courses that last the entire semester that they do in the afternoon. I was able to teach one of those on homiletics, the art of preparing and delivering sermons, and that was very fun for me. We have used the Institute as a hub for ministry opportunities, sending out the students to start and to work on kids' ministries. It's very interesting and very fun being part of a kids' ministry in South America, particularly in an area such as Tarapoto, where it's not dangerous to send kids out into the neighborhood. And so we would find kids playing in the neighborhoods, we would invite them, and without losing any time, we would have 40 kids or so ready to play and ready to stay to listen to a little bit of the Word of God. So we started a weekly ministry in an invasion, which is a bunch of people started to live on someone else's land. It's a complicated thing. I won't go into the details. But we got to take advantage of that and share the gospel with the children that lived there. And some other ministries that they've been involved in as well. We have mission trips for the students. This is probably a lot of Micah Tuttle's vision, bringing them into the jungle, visiting the towns, and serving in whatever capacities are possible. They went on three different trips like that, and I'm, as I mentioned, plus one with that was led by the church, where the entire church from Tarapoto sent about 30 people out to visit a jungle town. So I've given you a short summary, hopefully not a boring one, of what the ministry is like. And I think that kind of equips us to be able to take a look at a little bit of video. I put together a video for the students at the end of year, and then I adapted it to show to you all. Are we in full screen? Oh, I guess I gotta click play first. So I want to share this with you. Let's see if I'm gonna need to switch my audio device so that you can hear it through the speakers. I may speak over the audio a little bit. Is it his default device? There we go. Now let's see if it wants to. Music is, of course, a big part of what the students enjoy doing. We did some special music at the church there. We were rehearsing one for the end of the year. You would probably recognize some of these songs because they come translated from choruses and worship songs in Spanish. Although this one is an original in Spanish. And we had three different skits that we put together during the year. This one is called The Wall. And the message is this young lady is trying to get through a wall that she found in the middle of nowhere, but she can't. And she tries to get a strong man to help her. She tries to get a drunkard to help her. And every time it's going to fail. The purpose, of course, explaining that you can't use these things to win a relationship with God. Here she's trying to go to the local witch doctor to see if that'll help. And an engineer who knows all about walls but can't help her. And you might know this hippie. Sarah Levitt played the part of a hippie, and then we had Ruth do it once Sarah left. All you gotta do is peace and love it out, and then you can make it through that wall, but it doesn't work. And finally, a Christian who shares the gospel with her, and she's able to get through. We had our own rendition of The Good Samaritan, but I don't have time to explain that for you all. But that was enjoyable. A variety of professors using a variety of techniques. This is an evangelism class. And he showed them how to use these puppets. He was showing them how to use puppets to get the attention of an audience so you can share the gospel. And Mark Maddox loves using music and memory verses to help emphasize what he's teaching and get it stuck in the minds of the students. Here they're doing a final presentation for a different class on theology. And Sarah and I, of course, were listening. Jesse had a class on understanding and studying the Bible, and he used puzzles as an illustration. And as we went out, and here you'll get a taste for the children's ministries that we did. We ended up splitting into two different children's ministries because there were some kids that weren't allowed to walk the two or three blocks from one to the other. And each children's ministry involves singing, games, studying a little bit of a Bible lesson, and then a memory verse at the end, and some snacks. And we also started a youth group for younger youth, probably up to about 16 years old. And those are some pictures from that. Our ministry's trip started with this one, going from Yurimaguas, which is a city, to Santa Cruz, which is a very small jungle town. There you can see it. This is the one trip that Sarah was part of. Open-air preaching was part of the ministries when we went traveling normally. We then had a vacation of ministry where we set the students off two in each town, in three different towns. Ruth and Arabella were there in and David and Christian in Papa Playa. Later, they all met together for this convention in Papa Playa and continued serving there with the kids, with the youth, with the food. And it ended up being very tiring. I'm going to go ahead and pause for a moment on this photo right here. Let's see. This is Christian, one of our students, with the ladies who were cooking the food. He got up between 3 and 5 in the morning, but I think normally about 3:30 for probably 4 days straight to help with the cooking. The students were all involved in helping. It became a joke that we called it a vacation because it was a lot of work for them. But Christian in particular showed a lot of maturity and spent a lot of energy helping make the conference happen. And I set up a welcome sign when they got home. Our third trip was led by Pablo Sinepo Torres. We took the river down to a small town called Pucallpa. And, of course, we did a VBS-type ministry there. It was a beautiful area. And that's where we had our construction projects. We were laying a concrete floor in a church. We were joined by several people from the U.S. and a couple of people from the coast. And here's our entire team from that trip with a few of the brethren from that area. Sarah celebrated her birthday there in South America. And this is their happy birthday song. And I'm going to pause it for just a minute to explain that I got to celebrate my birthday as well, but they weren't quite as docile. They didn't just say, here's a nice cake, and blow out the candle, please. One of the guys who became a close friend of mine named Woo-sun, I was leaving. It was about 11 o'clock. We were on the coast. In a youth conference, and he told me, "Hey, just a couple more songs. Help us out with a couple more songs, and then that'll be great." But it was already 11 o'clock, and that was an hour past my normal bedtime. Or actually, it might have been midnight. I think it was midnight. So I'm like, "I'm sorry. I've made up my mind. I'm sorry." But he kind of gracefully held on to me and wouldn't let me go and kind of pushed me back into the circle until someone else smashed an egg over my head. and it became 2-3 eggs and then a bag of flour. I had been warned of this before, but I had no idea it was going to happen at midnight in the middle of a youth conference. It was, yeah, that the next day was my birthday, but it was very thoughtful of them to help me celebrate that. The only thing that was actually, I enjoyed it very much. The only thing that was a little bit difficult was the shower afterwards, because they don't find much of a need for hot showers, and at midnight on the coast in what would be their winter, or almost just about getting to their winter, and a little bit breezy as well, so yeah. But it was very, I really enjoyed that actually. I thought it what it showed was that they considered me to be part of them and welcomed me into their culture, and that was actually something I had been really aspiring to and very much appreciated. We have a couple other pictures from other birthdays that we celebrated there. Christian's here. And at the end, we celebrated the birthdays of the three ladies that did not have birthdays during the year, but we thought we would celebrate them anyway. Dali and Maricielo and Elizabeth. Marmi here is our cook, and we had to celebrate Mother's Day with her. I made a cake, and they made a banner with photos and all. One of the opportunities for the young people, especially the guys, is to lead music and preach there. I did get to play some with Isaac and Fiona. This is when we had while the kids were on their ministry vacation, we had an actual vacation. And a few nice photos. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. That was a verse that came to mind after I heard the testimony of our students as they shared some of the things that they had learned that God had worked in them during that ministry trip experience where they were out on their own, just with their partners. But it was really neat seeing the way that God used them and was growing in, was helping our students to grow in the Lord. So that was the video. I'm going to go back now to our photos. I have a few photos of the students in there. We had a final dinner together before the graduation on Friday, the last complete day that they were part of EVAM, and we took some photos. I'm going to go ahead and mention something about each one. Arabella came in, and I remember one of our sports together that we play a lot is volleyball, and when we were playing volleyball, she often was that girl who would scream when the ball was coming towards her. So she came across as being, I don't know, a little more timid, which is true, but then by the time we went on our first trip, she was taking the lead with the kids ministry and with our VBS that we were putting on in Yurimaguas and such. And so we saw a lot of growth in her in that. Elizabeth and Maricielo are cousins. They have a lot of similarity. Elizabeth strikes me as the person, actually very much so, the person that sometimes takes what you see in texting lingo, ROTFL, rolling on the floor laughing. I've seen her do that. Sometimes she was strong-willed and a little bit showed some need for maturity, but we did see the Lord working in that. She recognized her need for humility and stated so, and so that was encouraging. Maricielo has also been growing in humility and maturity. One of the things that was unique to her was when they had for the youth group at the church in Tarapoto, they divided everyone into two different groups for competitions and such. And she kind of took the lead in some way. She was the person who really took initiative in that group when it came to things like organizing skits that we were doing together and a song that we were putting together as our theme song for our group, and also a shirt, things like that. Christian, I already mentioned, he's a very hard worker. It was very rewarding working with him because I see in him a potential leader in the future. As a pastor, as a missionary to the jungle, I'm not sure where the Lord will use him. He states very strongly that he wants to come back to Tarapoto, so that's also really neat. So I'll probably see him again. David is from the jungle. He's thinking about his role in the youth group. I remember a time when we were having a sword drill, and more than once, a verse was thrown out. And it wasn't one of those references that everyone knows, but David was like instantly quoting from memory the verse. He did very well with scripture memory and with things like that, but in some ways he was a little bit slower to learn. And in some ways we saw in him the lack of a father in his life growing up. His father, I believe, left the family. But it was a privilege for me to step in some ways, try to be a little bit of what a father should have been in his life. And Ruth, who comes from the same church there in Tarapoto, one thing that I remember about her is that when the first time that we had group presentations, I showed some pictures in our video of group presentations. She declines to share because she felt underprepared, and honestly, it was probably just she had stage fright and was not willing to take that step. We talked to her about that. We gave her an opportunity to make up part of her grade that she would have had if she had shared, because other than that, she was a very good student. But it was a privilege then working through her with the homiletics class, where we got to see her grow in her ability to share and her willingness to share in front of everyone. There's one other student, Gomer, who did not complete the year. He's someone that we've been praying for and we continue praying for. He shows a lot of potential. He's very intelligent, but at this point in time, he wasn't willing to. He decided that the program was not something for him, and he had some struggles with the leadership there. But even through all of that, I did see growth and I did see benefits that the Lord had placed in his life from having studied there, and I'm sure that God can use it as well in the future. Here I am with my two boys. Christian is actually a little bit older than me, which was a good reason for me to grow out a little bit of a beard so that it would look like I wasn't younger. Here's our full students and staff. Jesse and Janelle with their two kids are on the two ends, and then Dolly right here is the lady who comes from Chiclayo and Trujillo and has been helping since last year, and myself and our six students. Jesse had just stated, oh, you gotta snap photos in the middle of the action. It comes out better that way, so I snapped a photo of him saying that. And here's our graduation group photo with everyone and the four leaders. Let's go back to my notes. So we saw the impact of the Lord in their lives. We saw changes. We saw We also saw an interest in the missions that they had seen, in meeting the needs that they had become aware of in the jungle. Several students stated that they would be interested, if the Lord opened up the doors, they would be interested in serving in a place like where they had been a part of doing ministry there in the jungle. Seeing things like churches that used to involve the majority of the town but now have a very small number of people attending. And the word is that basically it's a lack of encouragement. They're just discouraged. And so there's a need, and it's great to see people who are catching the vision for that. Whether or not the Lord will use them in that exact area is beyond me, but in any case, the program has had its impact, and they leave better equipped, I think, in a lot of different ways. I want to also mention some of the other ministries in Peru that I've had a chance to visit or to be a little bit of a part of. In Tarapoto, in that same invasion where we had the children's ministry, we might have to hit the lights for this one as well. Guillermo is the name of one of the youth from the local church, and he has his little make-do shack that is out there, and he gave us permission to use it for a Bible study. And so we put up this roof with a couple of the young people there. Here's Guillermo, and this guy up here is Paul, who is the brother of Ruth, one of our students. He studied in IBEM last year, but he's an experienced person in terms of building. And so we set up this roof, and we started a Bible study. The goal eventually, if the Lord leads, is to plant a church there. I'm excited for that. I see potential. I see men in the church who are willing to lead and are equipped to do that sort of a thing. And I've left it in the hands of a man who was actually instrumental in starting the church there in Tarapoto. So I think it's in very good hands. Hopefully the Lord continues to use it, and I can perhaps join that ministry again when I come back. I also visited Chiclayo for a CMML missionaries retreat, which, I'm blanking out on names. Dan and Peggy Copert were there last year to help out, so you may have heard something about this, but the majority of CMML missionaries who serve in Peru were there, and I was able to meet some people such as Jedediah and Shaomi Lichty, which I believe I've heard before in probably at some point in the past, but it's been a long time. Thomas Clark, Rich, and Peter and Marta Hawking, and others as well. It was a restful time, a good time to meet others and get to know more of the work of the Lord in Peru. But even more key in hearing more about the Lord's work in Peru, I think for me, was when I got to visit Cajamarca. There was a retreat for the organization Redes de Misión, which would mean missions network, or missions networks. And that is a very loose organization that encompasses IBEM Tarapoto, as well as three other IBEM programs that are intensive Bible training, but not quite the same as our program. Also includes some missions trips that they do within Peru for Peruvians, and some literature projects. So I got to know a good deal of people there from different parts of Peru. Willie and Nikki Cacho here in front were... That's Willie and that's Nikki, I believe. They were taking the lead for that because it was in their home city of Cajamarca. And so I got to visit with them a little bit. And they have two children there and there. And I don't remember her name, but his name is Mateo. He's a very fun guy to be around. They were also in Chiclayo at the missionaries retreat, and I played tag with Mateo and the other kids that were there. And ever since then, Mateo, anytime he sees me, he runs up and says, tag your, no tag backs. And so that was a fun memory for me. He reminded me much of Micah and made it more enjoyable to come home and be with my family as well. After that, I got to fly down to Lima. I got to fly down to Lima and visit a number of churches there. Another missionary, Peter Grover, who has been serving in Peru from Great Britain. He's now moved back to Scotland due to health issues. But he was there visiting and speaking at a couple of different assemblies, and so I kind of tagged along with him. Got to know, in total, I got to visit 5 different churches there in Lima. 2 of them are well established. One where the Wakefields served, some of you will know that name. Another where the Hawkings attend, the Hawkings, and that's where I got to stay. But then it was particularly interesting visiting the smaller churches, and one of them is where Wilson, the guy who cracked eggs over my head, that's where he attended. And so he hooked me up and got me to share a message there Sunday evening when they have their breaking of bread and Sunday service. And it was very nice getting to know the people there. And I have invitations to come back, of course, and plenty of people that are now friends and brothers and sisters in Christ that it's great to see that relationship within Lima. And speaking of that, there's an amazing movement towards the unity of the body of Christ among the brethren churches there in Lima. Those 2 meetings where Peter Grover was speaking were both based on the titles. Both of them had to do with the unity of the church. One of them addressing what is the church, and the other addressing how can we have unity in the midst of differences in the church. And coming up soon, November 1st, they're going to have basically an all-day fellowship meeting for all the churches in Lima. And this is really a milestone, in part because of the two smaller churches. At least one of the one smaller church that I visited was celebrating 5 years of communion with the other churches, because 5 years ago they had to get rid of some influential teachers that were causing significant division. And I don't have any more details on that, but it's encouraging for that reason. There's also another church that was, because of its more conservative stances, decided they didn't want to risk getting involved with more quote-unquote liberal assemblies. But since then, in recent times, they have been reaching out, and it's been encouraging to see that. So I've talked about some of what happens in Ibem Selva, what else I've been able to do there in Peru. It's been great to really get integrated with missions as a whole in Peru and not just in Ibem Selva. But I want to talk briefly about plans for next year. I made the decision sometime around July, I believe, that I would be coming back to serve for Ibem Selva 2018. My expectation is to go back down there very early February, more or less, give or take a week or two. But there are going to be a few changes. I have some new roles. For example, I'm going to be the main person helping out, teaching the students how to make things and help make dishes in the kitchen and clean up afterwards. I might still consult with Dolly a little bit for a lot of the Peruvian foods that they make. But that's been something I've enjoyed, working in the kitchen. We also have potential changes in property and infrastructure, and I think I have a couple of pictures to show that don't really tell you what we're doing, but just to let you know that Jesse is a very hands-on guy. Here's a table that he built. Here's his table saw, which was new as of this year, and a new toy that he enjoyed very much. I I used it a few times and had fun with it. Once I shot a like a 6-foot pole across the room with the blade. But it was fun getting to know how to use things like that. And of course, Jesse involves Isaac and Fiona, and they are well trained as well in those things. That doesn't tell you much except that Jesse is a very hands-on guy and well prepared to help with the projects we have in mind. So what they're thinking is we plan on putting a second story on what has been the guy's dorm. It's located on the Maddox's property just across from their house, within the same wall. And currently there are two rooms and as well as restrooms and such, and they're thinking about putting spaces for one or two families to live above that, and maybe even a small kitchen. There's a potential to actually buy a new plot of property, which is just across the street. That would potentially go to build more apartments or more dorms, perhaps for myself, perhaps for guy leaders in general. One of the issues is, or not an issue, it's not an issue at all, but one thing to consider is that we've been using the Tuttle's property. It's wonderful to fit our needs, but we don't want to assume that we're going to have that for the next 20 years or however long the Lord blesses us with the ability to lead this ministry. So we do want to use wisely resources and think about how we can best plan ahead. But it is possible that I would be involved in building a new dorm room over there on a new piece of property. There's also painting and minor remodeling projects that we're thinking about doing within the Tuttle's property downstairs where we have the institute. But all of that said, that is to say, we have big ideas for what could happen before the next year or even during the next year. And an idea has been thrown out to invite you all to participate in a missions trip with the goal of getting a glimpse of some of the ministry, but also helping us build one or two of those projects. The issue is the scheduling of it, and finding a time when, in particular, the Maddoxes are available. So I might bring that up again, but it's an interesting idea. And if someone says, "Hey, I would like to visit. I would like to help with something like that," talk with me, and it would be good to think together on what might work out. In terms of students, we've heard from several that are interested, a few that are already making their plans to be there. I would expect we'll probably have more students between 8 and 12, probably. But we have stated that formally our cap is 15. So likely that we'll have about twice as many students as this past year. And with that, we are kind of looking for another couple or family that would be interested in joining the ministry. A couple of families have shown some interest, but nothing final yet. But Dolly and I and Jesse and Janelle are committed to being there for the next year. Jesse and Janelle committed for as long as the Lord allows them to be there. I don't have permanent plans, but I can say that Tarapoto feels like home. And I'll be praying about I'm committed to one more year, and I'll be praying about whether the Lord has other plans. And if not, it's a good place. I feel like it's a good place to be. And a couple more things that I'm going to be doing. Of course, I'm going to try to get back involved in that Bible study ministry that we started in the invasion. And I have a couple of teaching opportunities and a couple of programs outside of UBEM Serva I get to teach Isaiah to a high school audience in Yurimaguas just before the school year starts, and then I get to teach apologetics in a different IBEM program in Cajamarca, where Willie and Nikki Cacho are at. That probably studying for those classes is going to use a lot of my time while I'm here in the U.S., but I also want to make sure I spend time, as much time as I can, with the chapel and with you all while I'm here. I'm very blessed to have a family like Northgate. I wanted to mention also, I skipped it, but I was going to mention when I thought about the unity of the body, the unifying of the body of Christ there in Lima, that it gave me just a little bit more respect for Northgate and for the unity that we have with other chapels, as expressed, for example, through Missionary Focus, that we participate with various other chapels here in the area, and the unity within the chapel between people of different backgrounds, different convictions sometimes, but the Lord has brought us together, and I have a lot of respect for what I've seen here. I want to finish by...